Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet. By the last line, the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah from Peah, which is not Hotam. We know it because we say it after Birkat HaTorah every day. Elu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur. These are items that have no measurement, have no fixed amount to them. HaPeah. Now, in each of these items, you have to ask the question, first of all, is this D'Oraita or D'Rabbanan? In most of these instances, the Mishnah is talking about only on the D'Oraita level, there is no Shiur. But the Rabbanan did impose a shi'ur mid-Rabbanan. That's number one. Number two is, when we say en lem shi'ur, does that mean en lem shi'ur both l'malo, mean that you can go as big or as much as you want, and en shi'urim l'mato, you can go as little as you want, or sometimes maybe it only means l'malo, you can go as big as you want, but you can't go as far down as you want. So over here, with regards to pe'ah, pe'ah is the corner of the field that you leave for the aniyim. In the Yerushalmi, there's actually a machloket about this. One of the Amoraim suggests that en lehem shiur l'mala velo l'mato, Peah has no requirement both in terms of its maximum amount and its minimum amount. You can give one chita, as they say, one kernel of wheat, and that would be enough. And nothing l'mala, you can give the entire field as Peah. On the other hand, the other Amora believes that there is no shiur l'mala, there is no maximum shiur, but l'mato, there is a shiur, there is a minimum l'mato. Both of them agree that mid'Rabbanan, there is a shiur over here. Habikurim, the first fruits that we read about in last week's parsha. Over there again, there is no shiur defined by the Torah. The Torah just says, "V'lakachta merishit kol pri adama." You should take the first of the fruits. So first means just first. Any of them can be the first. First can be as many as you want. And therefore, again, there's no shiur, both the mato or the malo, with regards to the fruits. Tosafot talks over here whether the word reshit, which we find by truma as well, over there, the Gemara says, reshit, you can only be reshit, you can only be the first, if there's something left over afterwards. So that by truma, there is no such thing as ein shiur l'malo, because there is a maximum shiur. You can't give everything as truma, because you need to leave something over that is not truma. So Tosafot over here asks why that isn't true by bikurim, because it uses the same term, mireshit, so maybe that should have the same standing, which is you have to leave something over, and then it would have a maximum shiur. But nevertheless, the pasuk by bikurim also has the word kol in it, mireshit kol pri adama. So therefore, we say that that overrides this Reshit Shishar Nikarim, and that Kol is all-inclusive. Next is Varayon, which we're going to get to in our Gemara. That's what we're about here, Ri'iyah, that there is no Shi'or for that, and we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Gemilut Chasadim has no Shi'or. As Tosafot notes over here, we know this from the Gemara in other places, that there's a difference between Staka and Gemilut Chasadim. Gemilut Chasadim is done Bigufo. That's something that you do physically. Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, doing certain chasadim with your body, there is no shiur. With regards to tzedakah, or monetary tzedakah, giving of your wealth, there are shiurim that the Gemara speaks about, the maximum amount of one is allowed to give their wealth, plus there's just the basic svara that the Gemara says, that one should not be giving tzedakah and impoverish themselves in order to help other people out. Then, v'talmud Torah, Talmud Torah again is one of these items, where ein lehem shiur l'malo, you can learn as much as you want, and it still is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there might be a shiur l'mato, there might be a minimum shiur of what Talmud Torah is considered each day. And as Tosafot points out over here, there are many other items in the Torah, or shiurim in the Torah, that have no maximum shiur, so why aren't they listed in the Mishnah here? It's because these dvarim, shimosif alehem yesh basiyatan mitzvah, as you add on to them, the addition is a mitzvah. These aren't just simply items where you can give as much as you want and the maximum amount, but as you add on and you may give more and more, that addition is also an additional mitzvah. The mitzvah increases with the quantitative increase, and that's why these are enumerated here. As well, the other items that don't have a shiur, but just because you bring more, there is no more mitzvah because you brought more of it. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kizvurim Anu Lomar, we wanted to suggest, Harayon Ein Lo Shiur L'Malo, that it has no maximum shiur, but it does have a minimum shiur. So, like some of the other items in the Mishnah, we would have suggested the Rayon has no maximum shiur. You can bring as much as you want for the Olot Riyah. On the other hand, there is a minimum shiur, which is enumerated in our Mishnah, which is either a Ma'ah, Stema'a Kesef, which would be the minimum you'd have to bring for the Olot Riyah, depending if you hold like Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. Ad Sheba Rabbi Yoshaya Barabi, until Rabbi Yoshaya the Great, came for the maid and taught us, Harayon, ein lo lo shiur l'malo, v'lo l'mato. There is no shiur maximum side, and there's no shiur on the minimum side. So, as Tosafot pointed out on the previous daf, And he mentions over here, when we say this, this means midoraito, there is no shiur. What's mentioned in the Mishnah, that is a din derabonon, about a minimum. But midoraito, there is no minimum shiur, and there is no maximum shiur. And that's what we say of a chachamim omrim, ariya mal kesef, v'chagiga shtei kesef, the shita of the Beit Hillel. So now the Gemara wants to know, ma harayon, what is this ri'iyah that we talk about, no maximum and no minimum? Rabbi Yochanan amar riyat panim ba'azara, it's appearing in the azara. Rish Lakish amar riyat panim bikurban, it's bringing the kurban along with it. This has echoes of the machloket we saw in Rashi and Tosafot on the Mishnah as to what is the ri'iyah that we're speaking about here. The obligation of ri'iyah, is the obligation of ri'iyah to appear in the Beit HaMikdash, or is the obligation of ri'iyah to bring the kurbanot when you appear in the Mikdash? Here, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about that. Rabbi Yochanan says, Riyat Panim Bazara, this, what is mentioned in the Mishnah, that there is no maximum amount, is how many times you can appear in the Azara, how many times you visit. Whereas, with regards to a Korban, there is a maximum amount. Rish Lakish says, no, that the can appear as many times as you want, you also can bring as a Korban as many times as you want, there is no maximum limit. From this, Tosafot concludes, based on the Yerushalmi, that there's actually a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish with regards to the Din Doraita. Meaning that when Yochanan says that Riyat Panim is mentioned in this Mishnah, that it has no limit, of Riyat Panim b'Kurban, yesh la shiur. It does have a shiur. The Sefer Rabbi Yochanan, Mal Kesef, Shtei Kesef, Doraita. He believes that those standards that are mentioned in our Mishnah are standards Doraita, not the Rabbanan. That minimum amount, and will also be the maximum amount, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see in a second, is the numbers that are mentioned in our Mishnah. That's what's for the Kurban. That does have a limit, Doraita. What's talked about here in the Mishnah has no limit. That's appearing in the Mikdash. Nothing to do with the Korbanot. On the other hand, Rish Lakish believes that we talk about Riyat Panim B'Korban, showing up there with a Korban. He holds like Rav Hoshaya, that we said over here, that Mal Kesef and Shtei Kesef is only a Din D'Rabbanon and not a Din D'Oraita. So now, the Gemara explains, this Machlokah B'Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we're going to qualify, we're going to limit it, which is, Be'ikar HaRegel Kuli Amalo Plige Riyat Panim B'Korban. Everybody agrees, in the initial appearance on the regel, on the first day of Yom Tov, that you have to appear with a korban, because it says, L'Reu V'Anai Yerekam, you have to show up with a korban. Kiblegei B'Shar Yemot HaRegel. Where they argue is, in the remainder of the regel, on Chol HaMoed, if one was to appear more times during the regel, can you simply show up then, because you already accomplished the mitzvah of bringing the korban when you came up the first time, and you can appear now as many times as you want? Or, do we say that, since you bring up a korban to be seen, every time you want to be seen, you gotta bring up a korban. That's the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Everybody agrees, in the remainder of Yom Tov, if you show up with a korban, we're gonna accept it from you. Because it's either a voluntary offering, or it's fine for you to bring it. The question between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish here is simply if you appear without bringing a korban. The Rabbi Yochanan Savar Riyat Panim Bazara, you can appear as many times as you want in the Azara. There is no limitation to that. So, you want to show up, you don't have to make a Korban. That's your choice. Anytime you want to show up, anytime you want to show up in the Azara, you got to bring a Korban. So this is the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Again, the first stage of the machlok is there any limitation with regards to the Korbanot Ri'iyah? According to Rabbi Yochanan, yes, Mido, right? According to Reish Lakish, no midoraita, because the Mishnah is talking about the Korban. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only place we have no limit doraita is the number of appearances that you can make in the Azara. That's again, way Tosafot explains it based on the Yerushalmi. Our Gemara never goes down or never goes down that path of distinguishing between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and the Din Doraita. It brings a second answer, which undermines this. But he uses the Yerushalmi and dresses that on top of our Gemara to explain this difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara says, Etevei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan from the Pasuk. It says, V'loi Reh Fanai Rekam. You cannot show up empty-handed. Samalei, Rabbi Yochanan says, no problem. That's Be'ikar Regel. That's when you show up on the first day of Yom Tov. The first time you show up, you're right. You gotta show up with something in your hand. Once you've done that once, you've discharged your obligation. You no longer have to show up. V'loi Reh Fanai Rekam is not relevant anymore. So now, Reish Lakish poses a second question. Etevei. Is that meaning you have to bring korbanot? Maybe you can just bring offerings of birds or meal offerings. It says that you have to bring a korban chagigah for the lay people. I mean, a person has to bring shalmei chagigah to be chogeg on the chag. And the olot riyah go to a kodesh baruch hu. Remember, they're olot. That's why they're going to a kodesh baruch hu. The chagigah is a shlamim that goes for the individual to eat. Ma chagigah mural hejot zvachim. Just like the chagigah, it only suffices to bring a zevach, to bring a shlamim to celebrate the chagigah, because that is the definition of lachokog. Af riyah mural lekvo zvachim. So too, with regards to riyah, it's got to be a zevach. It's got to be a korban of an animal. Ofot and mincha will not suffice in this case, because the word zevach or zvachim means that it has to come with a sakin shechted with a knife, and olot and mincha don't have that requirement. So the requirement of a zevach by the chagigah also lends itself to say that the same requirement applies by olat ri'iyah, that it has to be a zevach. So mahein zvachim, what are the zvachim you have to bring by ri'iyah? Olot. Ata omer olot or en ola shlamim. Is it olot or shlamim? Vidinu, nemra chagigah le'ejot v'nemra ri'iyah le'gevoah. It says by the hedjot, you have to bring a korban chagigah. It says riyah, you have to bring l'kodesh baruch hu. Ma chagigah amura le'hedjot b'ra'ui lo. Just like when you bring a chagigah, it's what's good for you, what you benefit from, which is a shlamim. Afriyah amura le'gevoah b'ra'ui lo. What is the most appropriate thing if you're going to bring to a kodesh baruch hu? It's an olah, something that goes totally to a kodesh baruch hu. V'chein, bidin, it's also a logical thing. Shelo yeh shulchancha malei v'shulchan rabbecha reikam. It shouldn't be that your table is full and the table of your Rebbe, the table of your master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is empty. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan answers again, B'ikar Regel. That's talking about the Ikar Regel. Let's talk about the first day. This whole Braita that we brought down over here, that Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan from, is talking about Ikar HaRegel. So here, Rabbi Yochanan answers in both instances that I don't disagree with regards to Ikar Regel, that you have to bring up a Korban. But that's only an obligation with regards to the first day, the first time you appear. After that, there's no more requirement of bringing korbanot. And again, the way that Tosfot explains Yushalmi, it actually would be a din d'oraita that you bring that minimum amount and you don't exceed bringing the one korban. What's interesting over here, this line of v'chein b'din shleget shulchancha malev shulchan rabcha reikam, Tosfot in the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, it's the last line in the Tosfot on the Yud Bet Amud Aleph, Tosfot over there wants to know, according to those that say that you can bring olot on Yom Tov, there's a machloket whether you can bring olot on Yom Tov or not. But according to those that say you can bring olot on Yom Tov, how do we justify bringing olot on Yom Tov? Because the requirement is that it's ochel nefesh, and it's a dover shavah lekol. It has to be something that you get benefit from, some hana from it. So where is the hana from the olot? The olot are going kulo l'shamayim, they're kulo l'Hashem. So where is the benefit? So Tosafot quotes this line as being the justification of ochel nefesh, the regards to bringing olot. He says, shelo yeh shulchan chamalei, Shulchan Rabcha Reikam. It's inappropriate that you will be eating and that your master's table will be empty. So the olot are a facilitator of your ability to enjoy your meal on Yom Tov and your mishteh and your korbanot on Yom Tov. You also have to give something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without that, it would be inappropriate for you to eat. Because of that, that's the hanah that you're getting. The fact that you bring the olah, and now that allows you to enjoy your meal on Yom Tov and not have, number one, a guilty conscience, but also be inappropriate because you're taking for yourself and not giving to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Since it solves that problem, that's the equivalent of a hana'ah, a benefit that is allowed for ochel nefesh. Even if we invoke the principle of mitoch, which Beit Shammai does not subscribe to, but Beit Hillel does subscribe to, which says that since it's mutar in other instances, it's mutar here. Shechita is mutar for eating, so it should be mutar the gamrei. Tosafot over there requires at least a minimum requirement of a necessity for Yom Tov, a necessity for you to benefit from. And this is the necessity that he says for the olot, which is, v'din shleish shulchancha malei v'shulchan rabcha reikam. Now, etavei, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Once again, Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan from a braita. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, shalosh regalim b'shana, nitztavu Yisrael alot beregel. 3 times a year, Bnei Yisrael are commanded to come up on the regel, v'chag ha-matzot, v'chag ha-shavuot, v'chag ha-suot. V'nirin chetzain. They can't appear in halves. The Gemara will come back and explain that later. Shem Shenemar calls the Kurucha, it says all of your males. Veinirin Reikanin, and you may not appear empty-handed. Mishem Shenemar, below Yeru, Fanai Reikam. You can't come up empty-handed. Amalei, Ikar Regel. It's talking about the Ikar Regel again. This question is somewhat difficult because it doesn't introduce any new information from Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda. Over here, it seems to say that the same pasuk that we quoted before, where Reish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan from, says velo yira'u fanai reikam. You can't see me empty-headed, which indicates that you have to bring something up. And Rabbi Yochanan already answered us that's talking about Ikar Regel. So why is there anything new in the information here that's brought in this Braita? What you could suggest is that we could bifurcate the din. And that's what we were thinking in this Braita, this last latter Braita that we brought, is that maybe you could bifurcate the din between the assay to appear and the Azara, and velo ra'u fanai reikam, and not to come empty-handed. You could say there's an assay to appear, there's a lot assay not to appear empty-handed. So you might say that I could accomplish the assay, show up empty-handed, and yes, violate the lot assay, but the assay docha lot assay, and I could appear without anything in my hands. If I had nothing to bring, I could still come because it's assay docha lot assay. What Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda here is mechadesh, is that these two items are inseparable. The fact that you show up is governed by the fact that you must not come empty-handed. And therefore, he ties the two together. By tying the two together, now we start to say, okay, well, if you tie those two together and you can't separate them, maybe that's not just true for the first day, that's true for all of days. And along comes Rabbi Yochanan again and says, no, that's only a din on the first day. That's not a din for the remaining days. So now, Eitave Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now we turn the tables and Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish and it says, ma'ani bichinam, af atem bichinam. Just like I am free, so too you are free. So just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't charge anybody for showing up, so too you can come up without having to provide anything. So there you see that there's no demand on you to show up every time with something in your hand. There is an ability to show up with just yourself, not providing something. Now it's true that would not be the first time you show up, you have to bring something with you, but nevertheless, for the remainder of the Chag, this would be true that you can become Bechinam. This is used by the Gemara in Brachot as a drasha with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu says that I taught Torah and I provide the mitzvot Bechinam, so too you can't charge for teaching Torah and for the mitzvot. But here it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just ma'ani Bechinam, afatem Bechinam. Just like I provide myself, I appear, I'm there, Bechinam, so too you can come without any charge, you don't have to bring anything with you. So that's a big challenge for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has no manifestation of showing up there empty-handed. Ella, so the Gemara now amends the way that we read or the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Kohechi the at of loaiti. If he comes, it doesn't bring anything. To hulam elo pligi the ayo umitchaze benofik. He can go in, be seen, and leave. He pligi the at of aiti. The machlok here is if he brings a korban with him. So everybody agrees on the first day, you bring a korban with what, and you show up in the mikdash to accomplish lo yeru fanai reikam. Question now is, in the subsequent days where you show up, if you show up without a korban, we're totally fine with that. Because it says, Mata ani bechinam, afatem bechinam. On the other hand, what happens if you show up with a korban? Rabbi Yochanan amar d'riyat panim bazara, riyat panim hu, dein la shi'ur, appearances, no limit to that. Halu korban, yesh la shi'ur, for a korban there is a shi'ur, yen a shi'ur mido raita, then it would be bal tosif to bring another korban over here if you exceeded the maximum suggested by the Torah. So too, the korban in the Torah has no upper limit, and therefore you can bring as many korbanot as you want when you show up in the Mikdash. Now, according to this explanation, Tosafot points out that, again, Rabbi Yochanan would be suggesting that midoraita there is a shiur, whereas Reish Lakish would suggest that there is no shiur midoraita, there's only a shiur midorabanan. But here, Tosafot limits Rabbi Yochanan's position to that same day. And he says that it's only if he brought again on the same day would he be in violation of Baal Tosif for bringing too much. But on the next day, if he showed up with something else, that he can do. Because that's a voluntary offering. The pasuk just says that you don't have to bring something. It doesn't say you cannot bring something. It says, Mani bichinam afatem, if you want, you can show up without anything. I don't demand anything of you. But if you voluntarily want to bring up something, Lo poli Rabbi Yochanan, rak dolo mechayvi leotuye. Rabbi Yochanan only argues that you don't have to bring something, but if you want to bring something, no problem, you can bring it. So Rabbi Yochanan's maximum shiur is a little different. This shiur is only a limitation on that same day, so you don't violate Baal Tosif. But on subsequent days, if you want to bring a korban, that's up to you. That's a voluntary offering, you can do it, because there's no restriction against bringing it. It's just no demand that you bring it, and that'll be the nafkamina between them on those subsequent days. Eight of eight. So now we have a challenge. It says, Hokar raglecha mi beit reacha, that you should make yourself scarce, or seldomly enter your friend's house. Pen yasbiacha, maybe he'll be satisfied with you, v'yasanecha, and then he won't like you anymore. You just spend too much time there. You overstay your welcome. So to make yourself scarce. Don't go into offense so you don't overstay your welcome. Gemara says, Hotam b'chata'ot v'ashamot. So this is a challenge to Reish Lakish, who seems to say that you bring up a korban every time you come. Over here, the pasuk in Mishlei seems to indicate, don't overstay your welcome. Don't come so many times. So Gemara says, no. That's not referring to the olot and shlamim that you would bring up. Over here, it's talking about chata'ot v'ashamot, k'de Rabbi Levi. The Rabbi Levi, Rami K'tiv, says there's a stir on the psukim. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Hogar raglecha mi beit re'echo. Make yourself scarce in your friend's house, v'k'tiv. And the pasuk says in Tehillim, Avo ve'techa ve'olot. I will come to your house with olot. Ashalem lecha nidarai. And I will pay you my nidarim. Sounds like I come all the time and bring my kurbanot with me. I says, Lokash, kan b'chata'ot v'ashamot. Make yourself scarce. Don't show up with so many chata'ot v'ashamot. Kan b'olot v'shlamim. Olot and shlamim, which are voluntary offerings. Come as often as you want. Bring as many as you want. So that will solve our problem here. It's not a question of Reish Lakish, because as far as Olot and Shlomim are concerned, you can come as often as you want. Tanya Nami Ochle, we have a braita that supports that understanding. Chokar Regalecha mi Beit Re'echa b'chatot v'ashamot ha'kadu midaver. Atalomir b'chatot v'ashamot. You say it's only talking about chatot v'ashamot. O'enu ela b'olot v'shlamim. Maybe it also means Olot Shlamim. Don't bring too many. Shomer abo v'itecha b'olot ashalim lecha nidarai hari Olot v'shlamim amor. That tells you that Olot and Shlamim, voluntary offerings, you can bring as many as you want. So then what do I do about the fact that it says don't come so often? So certain korbanot, which are really korbanot for rectifying a sin, we don't want to see you so often because we don't want you to be sinning so much. On the other hand, with olot and shlamim, which are voluntary offerings, you can come as much as you want. You make nidarim, you want to bring those. We're more than happy to see you as many times as you want, and therefore it's not a question on the position of Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara continues, Ve'en nirin chatzayin. We saw in the Braita before that you can't appear in halves. Sober Rav Yosef le'amar, Rav Yosef wanted to explain it like this. Man de'it le'asara banim. Someone has told children, Lo lisko ha'idna chamisha l'machar chamisha. You shouldn't show up with five of the children on the first day, and five of the children on the second day. So I'm going to say, Abaye, Rav Yosef's Talmud says to him, Pshita, what do you mean? Ha'minayu mishavit l'ho poshim, ha'minayu mishavit l'ho zrizim. The five that he brings the first day, they're going to be Zrizim. They're doing the mitzvah right away. And they're going to be classified as Zrizim. The one that he brings on the second day, those five that he brings on the second day, they're going to be procrastinators. They are Poshim because they waited. They need to go right away. Who is ever going to agree, first of all, to doing that? And number two is, what type of chinuch is this? Or what type of bringing your children up is this? When you split them up and you only bring five the first day, five the second day, you bring them all together the first chance you have to come up. Ella, cry the ma'ata. So then, what is the pasuk coming to teach you? L'kida achirim. It's coming to teach you what the achirim say. This is the limud from Kol Zichur Chad. This is something we saw already early in the Masechta D'Tanya. Chamim ormim, hamikamets, v'mitzareif nechoshet, v'arbursi puturim in ariya. All these individuals are puturim in ariya because they are malodorous. And the first one is someone who collects dog feces. Tzareif nechoshet, someone who's smelting copper at the mine level. That bursi is someone who is working with the tanning of hides. Turim min ariya, they're excluded from miyash. Nemar kol zechurcha, mishiachol alot im kol zechurcha. Someone who is murav in every road can walk with everybody else. Yatsuelo shen yochlim alot im kol zechurcha. Not everybody can handle their smell. Not everybody can handle the odor that emanates from them. Because of that, they're going to go up in small groups. That's not called kol zechurcha. Kol Zechurcha means that you can participate with all of Klai, so you can be together with everyone that is Ola La Regel. And so, they are excluded, and that's what it means, Ola Chatzayin. That's the way, the simple way to explain the Gemara. Rashi brings V'chaveirai, he brings another interpretation that Rabbi Yosef's not coming to explain the Braita of Ola Chatzayin, he's just coming to explain the Pasuk of Kol Zechurcha, and not explain what it means, Ola Chatzayin. Rashi rejects that and says he doesn't think that's right, because that's not the Derech of Hashas. When someone comes and says, don't say this, Ella this, they're coming to answer the same question the first person was answering. Rav Yosef is answering the question, what does it mean in the Braita, lo lechatzayin? That's what Abaye is answering here as well. What does it mean, lo lechatzayin, in the Braita? Alright, now we begin the next Mishnah. Olot bimoed ba'ot min achulim. The olot, ri'iyah, that you have to bring on the moed, which would sound like cholam moed now, ba'ot min achulim, have to come from chulim, they can't be korbanot that you're already chayav in. The Ashlamim, on the other hand, the Shlamim that you bring, Mina Maser, they can be brought from Maaser Sheni money, so you can use money that's already Kadosh in some other Kedusha to discharge the obligation. The Gemara is going to explain all of the Mishnah, so I'm just going to read it to translate it, and then we'll go through it piece by piece in the Gemara. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, that what you bring on that day must be from the chulin. Beit Hillel omrim min ha-maser. You can even bring things that are maser sheni or purchased with monies of maser sheni. Israel yotzi midei chuvatan b'nedarim b'nedavot u'b'maser behema. That Israel, this is with regards to simcha and the shalmei simcha. They need to be sameach on the chag. You don't have to bring a specific korban of a shalmei simcha. You simply have to have basar korbanot to eat. So therefore, Yisrael can be yotzei if he brings a neder nedava, other korbanot that he's obligated to bring. If he brings them and eats from them, that's equivalent of simcha, the shalmei simcha. U'b'maser be'ima, which is also a korban that's eaten by the balim, v'akohanim, and the kohanim themselves, b'chatot v'ashamot. When Yisrael brings a chatat v'asham, they get to eat from that korban. U'b'chor, and b'chor, which belongs to the kohen, u'chazeh shok, which are the pieces of the shlamim that are given to the kohanim, avalo be'ofot v'lo be'mincha. Ofot and mincha do not qualify, and we saw that already because you need basar zvachim, which the Gemara will darshan in order to have simcha. It cannot be ofot and it cannot be a mincha. Gemara says, Elo olot b'moed hu deba'ot min achulin. The diuk of our Mishnah is extremely strange diuk, but it says that only on Chol HaMoed you cannot bring the olot from something that is a chova. You have to bring it from chulin. Habi yom tov, the inference of that would be that on yom tov itself, min ha-maser, then you could bring it from Ma'ot Maser Amai. Why can you bring your Olot Riyah on the first day of Yom Tov from something that is already Kadosh, from Maaser Sheni money? Because it's a Dovar Shebechovahi. It's an obligation for you to bring the Olot Riyah. B'chol Dovar Shebechovah, in a Baal HaMin HaChulin. Anything that is your obligation, you cannot discharge your obligation using something else that's already Kadosh, that already belongs to Hashem. You can't come and say, oh, I owe you an Olah. Oh, you know what? I'll use my Maaser money and I'll give you an Olah. Because that Maaser money is already dedicated to Hashem. You can't use that to discharge your obligation to pay off your debt. You have to do something separate. You have to bring a Min HaChulin. Bring it from the Chuvah doesn't work. Now, with regards to Simcha, that's not the case. Because the mitzvah of Simcha is simply to eat Basar Korbanot. So it doesn't require you bring a specific Korban for it. It just means you need Basar Korbanot. So that's a different story. But over here, we have to bring a Korban Olah. In order to be Olah to Riyah, you're going to have to bring that from the Chulin. Maybe this is what's teaching us. Maybe it's teaching us a side din, which is that you can only bring the Olah on Chol HaMoed, you cannot bring it on Yom Tov itself. Kiman, who's that like? That's like a Beit Shammai. That's like the principle of Beit Shammai. That's not Beit Shammai. Omrim mevin shlamim ve'in sumchim alehen avalo olot. Beit Shammai says that you can bring shlamim on Yom Tov itself, because there's Ochel Nefesh. So you're allowed to bring Shlamim on Yom Tov. But you can't do Smicha on them. Rashi says over here, because you are Mishtamesh Bebalei Chaim, because you lean very heavily on the animal, and not allowed to ride animals on Shabbat and Yom Tov. It's Mishum Shvut. It's an Isur Derabanan. Now, that Isur Derabanan, the Gemara in Beitza discusses what exactly the problem is. Beit Shammai either doesn't think that Olot Nedava requires Smicha, or that Olot Nedava don't need Smicha Samoch L'Shchita, and therefore you could do the Smicha before Yom Tov, so there's no reason to do it on Yom Tov itself. Aval lo Olot. Olot you definitely cannot bring on Yom Tov. Beit Hillel omrim mevin Shlamim ve'Olot. You can bring Shlamim, just like Beit Shammai says, but they also believe v'somchim aleihem. You can also do Smicha on them. Rashi over here says, because Beit Hillel believes that it overrides. There's a requirement of Smicha. There the Gemara in Beit Zah tells us it has to be Smicha Samoch L'Shchita. And since that's the case, you have to do it on Yom Tov, and the Chachamim were not omei divrehem to say it's a shvut, but makom mitzvah to do smicha on the shlamim. Also, they allow you to bring olot. They allow you to bring olot on the first day of Yom Tov, and that's what we discussed before, because of mitoch. Mitoch, that it's hutra, shchita, for shlamim, or for eating meat. So too, shchita is mutar for bringing the olot. And we discussed why that still might have a classification of ochel nefesh, or etzorach Yom Tov, because of the line in the Gemara before that said, "V'chein b'din shlo yesh shulchancha malelei v'shulchan rabcha reikam." So now they allow olot to be brought. So this is actually a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So then, why are you suggesting that the diuk out of our Mishnah is to suggest that only on Chol HaMoed you can bring an olot, not on Yom Tov itself? If that's the case, the Mishnah is favoring the position of Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai themselves is following the position of their Rebbe Shammai, who says that it's usur to be somech on Yom Tov. And Hillel, who says, we're going to see this later in the Masechta, that Hillel believes that it is okay to do smicha on Yom Tov. With regards to the olot, that's not a machloket Shammai and Hillel, that is a machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So the first machloket about smicha on the shlamim, that is a machloket at the level of Shammai and Hillel. The machloket about the olot is a machloket Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel. So now the Gemara says, chasur rei mechzera, Our Mishnah is actually missing some key words here, and that'll help explain everything. V'halkik tani. This is what it says. Olot, nidarim v'nedavot, b'moed, ba'ot, b'yom tov einam ba'ot. Everybody agrees, this includes Beit Hillel, and Beit Shammai agree that if you want to bring voluntary olot on Yom Tov, you cannot do that. You can only bring your voluntary olot on Chol HaMoed. V'olot riyah. Olat riyah, which is an olah of chovah, it's an obligatory olah, doesn't have to be brought on the first day, you can bring it on the second day. There, ba'a afilu b'yom tov. It comes even on Yom Tov, like the shita of Beit Hillel. Ukushi ba'a, when you bring it, enyo ba'ala min ha'chulin. When you bring it in that case, it can only come from chulin. So here, you don't have that diok anymore out of our Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, both on Chol HaMoed, both on Yom Tov, when you bring the olah riyah, it has to come from the chulin. Now, v'shalmei simcha ba'im af min ha'maser. In regards to shalmei simcha, they can be brought even from the maser, because it's not an obligation to bring the korban, it's an obligation to eat the basar of a korban. So whatever the korban is, even if it's an obligatory korban or something you already are obligated to bring, that's fine. Again, you can't bring it necessarily on Yom Tov itself, but you can bring it on Chol HaMoed. V'chagigat Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. When it comes to the first day of Pesach, Beit Shammai Omrim Min HaChulin. You can only bring it from the Chulin. Beit Hillel Omrim Min HaMaaser. And you can even bring it from the Maaser. So when it comes to the Shalmei Chagigah, over there, the Shalmei Chagigah on the first day of Pesach, Beit Shammai says it's a Chovah, therefore you have to bring it from Chulin. On the other hand, Beit Hillel Omrim, that you can even bring it from the Maaser, and that's what we're going to see in a second, why this is true if it is a Chovah. When it comes to the Shalmei Simcha, we understood why it's not a Chovah, because the obligation is just to eat meat of Korbanot. So that's why you can bring it from Maaser. But over here, where it's a chagiga, the Shalmei chagiga, the chagiga is an obligation. So why does Beit Hillel allow this? That's going to be tomorrow's Gemara. So Tanya Nami Yochel, we have a brayta that supports this understanding of the Gemara. Olot nidarim nidavot b'moed ba'ot. You can only bring voluntary olot on Chol HaMoed. B'yom tov einan ba'ot. But you cannot bring them on Yom Tov itself. And even Beit Hillel agrees to this, that they're not gravim on Yom Tov. V'olat ri'iyah. The obligatory olah for Ri'iyah, ba'afilu b'yom tov, that you can bring even on Yom Tov, which is the position of Beit Hillel. Ukshem ba'a, ena ba'a, ela min ha'chulin. And of course, when you bring it, since it's an obligatory offering, you can only bring it from the chulin. Shalmei simcha, which everybody agrees, can be accomplished by simply eating the meat of any korban. Ba'im af min ha'maser. Everybody agrees you can even bring that from maser, because all you need is a korban to eat. You don't have to bring a specific korban as the Shalmei Simcha. You just need the resultant meat of Kodashim in order to eat it. Tosua does note that the Rabbi Yochanan and the Ri say that with regards to Shalmei Simcha, that you can only discharge your obligation with Nidarim or Chovot when you actually are makriv them, having in mind that you're going to use them for Shalmei Simcha. If you don't have them in mind to be Shalmei Simcha, then they cannot help you to discharge your obligation, because then they are simply discharging the obligation of the nether, not helping you with regards to this din of simcha. The chagigat yom rishon shel Pesach, and the chagiga, the shalmei chagiga that you bring on the first day of Pesach, Beit Shammai omrim min ha'chulin, you can bring it, but it has to be min ha'chulin. We saw Beit Shammai's opinion before, you can bring a shlamim on the first day of Yom Tov, you just can't do smicha, but you can bring the korban, but he says it's a chovah, you have to bring it from the chulin. Beit Hillel omrim min ha'maser, you can bring it from the maaser. Even though it's a chovah, we'll have to understand why Beit Hillel says you can bring it from something that you already have. Mishnah chagigat Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Why did the Mishnah bring the example of a chagiga on the first day of Pesach? You have a chagiga on the first day of Shavuot, you have a chagiga on the first day of Sukkot. Why did it specify, why did it focus on the chagiga Pesach? So Amar Vashi, Akamash Malo, and it comes to teach us that chagigat Chamisha Sarin, chagigat Abasar Lo, that when it comes to the chagiga of the 15th, that is true, that's a chovah. But when it comes to the Chagiga of Arbasar, that is not a Chovah. Alma Kosovar, he must believe, Chagigat Arbasar, Labdo Raita, the Chagiga of the 14th, which accompanies the Korban of Pesach. If you don't have enough meat for all the people on the Korban of Pesach, you bring a Chagigat Yudalit so they get full, and then they eat the Korban of Pesach afterwards. That is not an obligatory offering. That's not a Din De Oraita. That's only there so that it's Nechal Ala Sova, the Pesach. So that's the Rabbonin said, if you need it, you bring it. The conclusion from this is that Chagigat Yudalit is not Doraita, Chagigat Tevav is Doraita. So Chagigat Tevav is going to override Yom Tov. Chagigat Yudalit is not going to override Yom Tov. That's not really relevant, because it won't be Yom Tov in Erev Pesach, but it won't override Shabbat. And that's what Tosafot points out over here, that they are following the opinion in the Gemara in Pesachim that says Chagigat Yudalit is not an obligation, because sometimes you bring it, sometimes you don't bring it, and therefore it's not Doche et HaShabbat. There are opinions over there that Chagigat Yudalit is an equal obligation with Pesach, it's Doche et HaShabbat, so they clearly think there that Chagigat Yudalit is Doraita. This opinion is clearly following the other Shita that says Chagigat Yudalit is optional, and since it's optional, it's not an obligation, number one, and number two is, it is not Doche et HaShabbat, not Doche et Yom Tov, it's not Mi Deoraita. And so therefore, you can bring it min ha-maser, and it doesn't have to only be brought min ha-chulin. Okay, we're going to stop over here in the second line on the top of Chet Amud Aleph, and tomorrow we'll discuss this machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai with regards to Chagigat Tetvav, as to why Beit Shammai says it only comes from the chulin, and Beit Hillel says it can also come from the maser.